This baseball season, catch every game at Long Neck Sports Grill. There are three locations in Northern Kentucky, Wilder, Hebron, and Richwood. Each one of them very easy to get to. Each one of them has 4K TVs all over the place, and the sound will be on. Plus, no place in Northern Kentucky has better wings, and there's also no more extensive beer selection than the one you'll find at Long Neck's. Long Neck Sports Grill, and by the way, when the weather gets warm, there's nothing like Long Neck's patio. Long Neck Sports Grill, stay late. Come often.
This is Paul Daner Jr. and Mo Egger in studio talking all things Bengals and general NFL topics on ESPN 1530 Cincinnati Sports Station.
Hey, what's up? Good afternoon. I'm Mo Egger. This is ESPN 1530. Thank you for listening. Hopefully you're having a great Tuesday. We are loaded today. Is Keyshawn Johnson on today, 433? That has become, I hear from people who say that's their favorite part of the week. I hear from folks who say that's their least favorite part of the week. That means the segment's good. I'm looking forward to it. You'll hear Luke Fickell at 420 today. Cincinnati coming off their scare against Navy and getting set to play Tulane. We have the World Series tonight, which does air games 1 and 2. We'll air on ESPN 1530. I'm not going to tell you about games 3, 4, and if necessary, 5, 6, and 7, but I can tell you games 1 and 2 will air live on ESPN 1530. We are pretty loaded this afternoon. Of course, it's a Tuesday, which means our guy from The Athletic covers the Bengals, Paul Daner Jr. He and Jay Morrison have as comprehensive coverage as you're going to find. They write, they podcast. Paul's written some really good things in the aftermath of the win against the Baltimore Ravens. Hear that podcast. Growlin' is their podcast. Is the episode with me on it today, is that up?
It is up.
It is up? Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. Well, you can check that out.
You can check
if
that out.
If you can't
out.
Get enough of me and Paul together, there it is, except Jay is a part of that. So there you go.
Yeah. Do you get credit for games 1 and 2 being aired on ESPN 1530?
No.
Like a hat tip? Did you essentially, your words, strong-arm somebody into?
No.
No.
I don't know why we haven't aired any playoff games to this point. we're airing games 1 and 2 of the World Series, so we have that to look forward to this evening. After the Scott Satterfield show, the Louisville football coach, after that, we'll join it right before first pitch of the Fall Classic tonight.
I look forward to that.
There you go. God, where do we even
where do you
begin?
Start?
Yeah, that's
what do you, what do you do, Mo? What do you do is the question when
me?
The news is only positive.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
No, I don't mean like, I just, as a show, it's mm-hmm. such a different, what a different world to be in, to be hosting this show when you have a team, a college team ranked number 2 in the country,
yeah.
and this Bengals team that is blowing expectations out of the water. It's such a different experience.
For me, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things you hear often is they'll say, like, you know, well, and there's this belief in this industry, not necessarily by anybody here, that when the teams are bad, people are pissed off and they're angry, and that's good. And that's true for a very short amount of time. But eventually people move on to something else. They don't want something that's going to make them feel bad. They get tired of the same old things, and so they leave. When the team is good, look, you might not have people complaining about as much stuff, although some will certainly try. But you have more people interested, you have more people excited. And for me, like I've said this about this team in particular, we've spent the most of the last 5 years not really talking about football. I like talking about football. I didn't get into this business because I wanted to spend all my time complaining and screaming that the coach should be fired, or are they going to move the team, or how much everybody hates the owner. I got into this because I like talking about sports and games and teams, and we're doing that now. That, to me, is amazingly refreshing.
It was kind of fun on last Thursday's episode. I was like, this is maybe a bit of a departure for us.
Yeah.
But we're going to really focus on the game.
Yeah.
And it's such a weird thing because
right.
you go through so many years of you got to kind of dive further and further into all the big picture off the field
right.
things of how do you get this thing right and culture and all these things. And now you can spend a lot of time on the X's and O's because of the insane relevance that they have.
Yeah.
And I think we'll be doing that the rest of this year.
Well, and it's interesting because a couple of weeks ago we were talking about the role of coaching with the offense, right? Why were they spinning their tires? Why were they going through these long lulls despite winning some games? And I got some pushback. Hey, come on, they're winning. What are you doing? And I go, no, no, no. This is the next step. Now, quarterback's in place. feels like that the pieces are in place. Now, we talk about the team and the games and strategies, and that's not always going to be, you know, gumdrops and rainbows. Hopefully it is. But, yeah, we talk about, okay, what can the team do now to be even better? We weren't doing that last year. We weren't doing that 2 years ago. God knows we weren't doing that the previous 3 years. We're doing that now. And again, from my individual standpoint, that is an insane amount of fun. So sign me up for it every single year.
Yeah, and I mean, you start thinking about where this team is going, man. And we did a whole podcast today where I said, here's what we need to do. We need to reset let's reset the season here. Let's reset. Expectations have changed. The timeline has changed. What we should be talking about has changed. We can say that now. And when you look at it, I mean, they can end up in a place where we should be talking about what do they need to do to get the number one seat?
Mm-hmm.
How does the rest of this year play out? The sustainability of where they're at right now.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these things, you got to kind of reset the season and your expectations and say, you know, to kind of quote CJ Uzomah, you know, they say, why not us? I mean,
why
not them at this point in an AFC that is wide open and some of the heavy hitters all stumbling over themselves? You suddenly see this team in the middle of the conversation and understand this type of chemistry, this type of start, this type of health, this type of situation that you're in right now does not come along all the time.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, sometimes only comes on for 1 year and then things go sideways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've seen that here pretty much always.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got to kind of say, yeah, it feels earlier than you thought it would be, but time to reset the expectations and understand the time is now to take advantage of this, because not always do you have yourself in a situation as good as the one they're in right now.
Yeah, and so let's talk about Sunday, because I spent some time last week talking about this team's playoff chances. And I said, look, if they beat the Ravens, this is going to kick this conversation into hyperdrive. But why do we have to wait? And for me, the sort of the crux of it was based on, look at this conference. We can eliminate four or five teams already. Some of the teams that have fewer wins than Cincinnati, how many of them do you trust to get to 10? And then look at this team and tell me where they're woefully deficient. Not where they couldn't use some help, not where they couldn't use some retooling, but where are they woefully deficient? And they have the quarterback, and he's trending upward. And so then you sort of wrote something, and I even put on Twitter on Sunday morning, you were far more articulate in expressing that sentiment than I was, and it was basically, hey, look, this feels different. This is worth buying into. This is something that's starting to turn. And then you pick the Bengals to win with an Evan McPherson field goal at the gun. That obviously is not what they needed to
win.
How
bad did I look?
Yeah, you whiffed. So, but here's the thing. So they won the game 41-17. And if you would have written, or if I would have said, the Bengals are going to go to Baltimore and win by 24 points, we'd have been laughed at. You and I both know. Yet, and it's easy to say this in the aftermath of the game, I walked away from that game on Sunday going, you know, this is surprising. I think it's always surprising when you win by more than three touchdowns in the NFL, especially in the division. At the same time, this is a Baltimore team that had been walking a tightrope for weeks, played really well last week, but had been walking a tightrope for weeks. It is a Bengals offense that is seemingly getting better every single week. They're healthy. The defense had been playing well. What Baltimore had, Cincinnati had a counter for. Hey, they're going to blitz. Burrow's great against the blitz. Well, they got a shutdown corner. Yeah, but Ja'Marr Chase is a special talent. Hey, it's Lamar Jackson. Yeah, the Bengals defensively are better equipped to slow down Lamar Jackson, and they've got some injuries on offense. All of those things added up. Before the game, I think you could have made the case Cincinnati could win this game convincingly. Nobody was willing to do that, myself included. But when things unfolded the way they did, I walked away from that and said, maybe we should have seen this coming.
They lost the turnover battle. I mean, they were the better team.
Yeah.
It was nothing they did was superhuman necessarily, although someone might argue that about Ja'Marr Chase at this point.
Yeah, I would.
Nothing they did was anything you hadn't seen them do this year. They put a full game together, but teams do that. And it wasn't like they got a million great breaks. They lost the coin toss, Mo.
I know. It's over.
It was hurtful.
New streak starts Sunday.
But, you know, the point being, though, this was not a collection of lucky bounces and some total random stuff.
It wasn't Dalvin Cook fumbling.
No.
It wasn't Mason Crosby missing a bunch of field goals.
This was just a clinical destruction of the other team and everything the other team wants to do, and a team that had won five games in a row. Mm-hmm. Regardless of what you think about their IR or who they are or whatever as a team, you know, this was not some luck. You know, you see these things typically, it happens where one turnover happens or a pick six or a special teams thing and you get a blowout. Mm-hmm. Just beat them up.
Yeah.
They just beat them up and it didn't look out of the ordinary for just what they were doing in the, you know, to the eye test. And I just think that's really the scary part about this team that gives you even more reason to believe is, you know, that's just kind of who they are. They're a team without a lot of weaknesses at this point. Mm-hmm. And when you play in a league where everybody goes through attrition, you exploit other teams' weaknesses. And they're doing it kind of week in and week out right now.
Yeah. No, I mean, for back-to-back weeks, for Brandon Allen to finish the game, and that come at the end of lopsided Bengals victories, is not something before the season that any of us ever would have entertained, and yet it happened in consecutive weeks, which is nothing shy of remarkable. But yeah, I walked away from that game and I put it on Twitter. The better team won. This wasn't fluky.
No,
this wasn't Baltimore played bad and let a bad team in. That happens all the time in this league. We've seen it happen with the Bengals. This was the better, healthier, more loaded offensively team went to Baltimore and toyed with the opponent in the second half.
And answered some nice questions by the Ravens. I mean, you know, when the Ravens get the deep ball to Hollywood Brown, here we go, right? Mm-hmm. The Ravens are doing their thing. Lamar, then it's like, even though the Bengals take the lead, they leave a couple opportunities for Lamar to charge back in and do what he's done a bunch of times this year, and they just shut it down.
Yeah.
They just shut it down, and then they put him away, and the Ravens basically are waving the white flag on that Samaje Perine run where they just push everybody back 10 yards past line of scrimmage and they got guys barely even trying. So now you have a game at Pittsburgh and a game at Baltimore where the Bengals took both teams behind the woodshed and both teams waved the white flag. Tyler Boyd spoke with the media yesterday. The only difference was this time he didn't point out what we all knew. They quit. They quit. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Ravens were done, and everybody did. Everybody put in all their backups and said it was over. And when you do that, I don't care how the division is constituted. I don't care how either team is doing at this point. You went into both of those houses, perennial leaders, bullies of this division, and just took it to them. There's no other way to see it other than time to reset the expectations for what this season can be.
No question about that. Follow Paul on Twitter, at Paul Daner Jr. I want to talk to you about what you wrote about Ja'Marr Chase and this offense. And we are just about a week away from the NFL's trade deadline. So now we can talk about how the Bengals might get better, what they may do with the deadline. And it's not just unloading guys for the sake of unloading them. These are conversations that I've been looking forward to having. I also need your take on the Brady ball because it's the biggest topic in the NFL right now.
Is it really?
Yes, the Brady ball.
Okay.
Yes, I need your take. You're not allowed to do this without having a take on the Brady ball. Yeah.
Okay.
You didn't get the memo?
I didn't. I'll put one together during the break.
Great. 17 minutes after 3 o'clock, Reed Paul. He's in The Athletic. He's here till 4, you and I till 6. This is ESPN 1530 Cincinnati Sports Station. 22 minutes after 3, this is ESPN 1530 Mo Egger. Paul Daner Jr. is here from The Athletic. He's with us every single Tuesday. Read his work in theathletic.com. Really quick, what do you think? Because, you know, a year ago at this time, I'm reading about how Zach Taylor's losing the locker room, and I'm writing about how he's like David Shula and things like that. If Zach was being honest, because we're all now taking victory laps on dumb things people said about the Bengals, Zach has handled all of the criticism that he is absorbed over his first two seasons, publicly at least, very, very well. He hasn't snapped at people. In listening to his interactions with you guys, he has been affable. most of the time, and so he's taken a lot of hits, and some fair, and maybe many of them not so fair. If he's being honest, how do you think he is reacting to the success his team is having right now in the face of what a lot of people said and wrote about him?
I'm 100%, and I think I know him decently. Mm-hmm. I don't think he looks at it as some victory lap for himself. Yeah. I really don't.
Because I would be petty.
Right. not like you and I were handling this.
I would hold up the Dave Shula piece.
No.
There's others that I would hold up to.
I think he does a pretty good job of blocking out all that stuff. I think he tries to stay insular of just coach my team, work on doing things that I think should be done a certain way, the right way, and I don't, so I don't think that there's a proving the doubter's wrong element to the way he views it.
Yeah.
I just think.
Hey, when you and your buddies are looking for a place to watch baseball this season, how about Longneck Sports Grill? Each location has 4K TVs all over the place, so you'll never miss a pitch. The menu is so extensive that you can get something different every time you visit, and no place in Northern Kentucky has a better beer selection. There are locations in Wilder, Hebron, and Richwood, and when the weather is warm, there's nothing better than a spring night on Longneck's outdoor patio. This baseball season, Longneck Sports Grill. Stay late. Come often.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
He's just grateful because he wants to be the coach of this team.
But it is remarkable.
But I think he understood the criticism. Like, I think he understands and was totally okay with, like, yeah, you lose games, you should be getting crushed, and I'm not going to listen to all of that. But I'm not going to sit here and go out there to try and shut up people that were crushing me. And so I just think it's kind of a – he just wants to coach the football team, you know.
You wrote about the day that Ja'Marr Chase had. And there's a greater point to all this that you reference. You wrote, defenses now have to play pick your poison. Want Ja'Marr Chase – and I'm kind of paraphrasing here. Want him to beat you over the top, underneath, not at all. Prefer to deal with stopping Mixon with fewer defenders, leaving Boyd and Higgins singled. These are the decisions defensive coordinators have to make. And I want folks to read it because it is a really good illustration as to exactly, precisely what Ja'Marr Chase did against Baltimore. But it does highlight the conundrum for this league moving forward. I don't know how you defend these guys.
I don't either. And here's in kind of a portion of the story, but really the big picture is Ja'Marr Chase did more than just, like, post a 201 on the Ravens. Mm-hmm. He changed the way he's viewed because he posted a 201 not doing the thing he's done best this year thus far.
Yeah.
He's been the deep ball guy. And he's done other stuff a little bit.
Sure.
But you knew eventually teams are just going to do whatever they can to make sure you can't run over the top of them. And the Ravens were clearly aware of that, very focused on that. Just like we all said, at what point is somebody in the last minute of the first half going to stop letting this guy do this? Well, the Ravens said, we're not going to let you. What did he do? Back shoulder slant underneath and accomplish the exact same thing with ease. Mm-hmm. Now, it was impressive. I don't know if it wasn't made that easy to do, but he made it look easy.
Yeah.
Against Marlon Humphrey.
Yeah.
And to me, that's when everyone throws their hands up and says, I don't know what to do now. Mm-hmm. So the only thing you can do is you assume you're going to start to see more double teams, more direct clouds with the safety right over top. And what does that mean? That means you're pulling a linebacker out or pulling, you know, the idea of dropping that safety down in to come in and stop a Joe Mixon. And you're definitely leaving Tyler Boyd all alone, mm-hmm. and T. Higgins all alone. And is that safe? I just think there's a number of ways that they can beat you, and the fact that he did it that way, it just changes the way that you think that maybe you could slow down Ja'Marr Chase. Because mm-hmm. nobody, there might be one or two teams that will watch that and be like, well, I got a better corner than Marlon Humphrey to do this with.
Not many.
And nobody on the schedule.
Right.
So I just think it's the evolution you hoped. He has absolutely changed the offense, but he had changed it in a different way than he did Sunday.
Right.
And now it's when it really becomes scary on a big picture level.
Yeah, I mean, he unloaded the bag against Baltimore. And now if I'm any of these teams they're playing, and I'm going to sit down and try to come up with some sort of schematic advantage against the Bengals, and the obvious answer is going to be, I guess, for a lot of people, well, you got to put a lot of pressure on Joe Burrow. Number one, he was phenomenal against pressure. He showed pocket awareness that just sort of defied his still relative lack of experience. And this offensive line is playing well. I mean, you know, so now you're going to try to beat him by rushing four. The way they're playing, the way he's playing, and the way that unit is gelling, good luck with that.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, the line as a whole has been definitely okay.
Yes.
And that's what
we
talked about.
This was the blueprint, yeah.
This was what you talked about.
This was it.
If the line's okay and you have those weapons, it all flows just fine.
Right.
And they've been that. And at times they've been better than okay. And, you know, you look, and I did this as a little bit of an exercise just to see for myself. You look at some of the critical numbers that really correlate to winning and you want to see from your offense. Take out the first 2 weeks where we know Burrow was trying to figure out his knee mobility, wasn't really scared, you know, basically everything after he called the audible for himself in Pittsburgh and did the Joe Mixon celebration.
Right.
And they have been top 10 in almost every important stat, including seventh in points per drive, first in yards per attempt. I mean, they have done everything you wanted them to be these last 5 weeks since they kind of got a feel for Burrow and obviously Chase continuing to develop. And so now you have a top 10 defense, a top 10 offense, and a top 10 special teams.
Yeah.
There's just not teams that can say that.
No.
There aren't.
No. And you mentioned a top 10 defense. We have to talk about them, and we will when we come back. 29 minutes after 3 o'clock, he's Paul Daner Jr. here till 4. At Mo Egger is how you reach me on Twitter. At Paul Daner Jr. is how you hit him on Twitter. You can read his work, theathletic.com. Hear that podcast growling is out. Paul and Jay Morrison on all things Bengals in the aftermath of a blowout win against Baltimore. 29 minutes after 3, this is ESPN 1530, Cincinnati Sports Station. Sports Update is a service of Kelsey Chevrolet, home of lifetime powertrain protection and guarantee credit approval from their family, the Earth's for Life, KelseyChev.com. Are there any sports headlines tonight? Or right now, Taryn? Game 1 of the World Series is airing on ESPN 1530. Games 1 and 2. The first two games of the World Series will air on ESPN 1530. I think maybe we're joining Game 7 in progress if it goes that far. Got a lot of stuff we got to carry. We got Kentucky basketball exhibition games. FC Cincinnati's still playing in like the longest season ever. So we have a lot of commitments. But Game 1 of the World Series after the Scott Satterfield radio show tonight on ESPN 1530. Bengals are off. This is the day that you say crap like, the coaches are game planning for the... You'll hear Luke Fickell coming up at 4:20. 513-749-1530 is our phone number for later on. A couple of things. We've talked about a game that involved Lamar Jackson for 30 minutes, and we have barely mentioned a defense. That you talk about recalibrating expectations. Before the season started, most of us were like, well, if they can finish somewhere middle of the pack, boy, this thing can take off. Right now, that feels like the floor.
Yeah, there's no reason to think things will change dramatically with them, barring injury. And I do think we need to prepare ourselves for the fact that there's going to be attrition on this roster
sure.
at some point. And the roster depth for this team has not really been tested yet.
But, you know, go back to 2015. Middle of the season, I remember reading the injury report, and there were no guys on it. And it was important that year, as much as nobody wants to revisit the end, you got to take care of business while you're healthy, because one day you won't be.
Yes.
And then Andy Dalton got hurt. But one day you're not going to be as healthy as you are right now. Win the games while you're healthy. The health determines so many different things in this league and in sports. You have to take advantage while you have it, and the Bengals do.
There is no doubt. I used to do this almost every year, especially recently when they were having so much problem with injuries, where you would go in the offseason and look at the teams that go from bottom of the league to the top of the league year over year, and you could almost always find a direct correlation to injury luck. Mm-hmm. It's just like, look, bad injury luck 1 year to good injury luck the next year is the difference of, you know, 3 to 4 wins oftentimes, and mm-hmm. especially in a league that's so beat up like this one has been this year. And so, you know, you're right. You have to think about who they are and what, and the fact that, look, they just have all the elements you need of great defensive play, rush and cover. Trey Nixon is one of the best edge rushers in football. Their defensive interior continues to be great. Their Yoga Njobe doesn't get enough love. Chidobe Awuzie has been a legit number one. Mm-hmm. Mike Hill, I mean, they've all filled in. Even Eli Apple has started playing well.
Yes, he has.
I mean, you got to say.
Made fun of Eli Apple a lot early in the season.
And he has got it together and started playing well. And you just, there's not a lot of holes there. And I said, you know, honestly, there should probably be a receiving line of people paying apologies to Lou Anarumo at this point. Mm-hmm. I would be in that. I mean, I didn't see this coming. I didn't see a path to him returning last year. I didn't think that it would happen and, or that it was the right move, but it has, like many things that they've done, absolutely proven to be. The continuity has been a big part of their success, despite even the new pieces. And all that has worked out. I just, to me, when people talk about the surprise, that's the surprise.
Yes, yes.
Like this defense becoming this thing is absolutely the surprise, just because this was the thing that was totally almost unforeseeable.
Mm-hmm. Being good. Not being better.
Being top five?
Right. I think we thought defensively, if they stayed healthy, they would be
sure.
better. But being a reason why they're winning games, the roadmap to a successful season included winning often in spite of your defense. That hasn't been the case this year. And I'm not sure as long as they remain intact, it's ever going to be the case.
There's no reason to think. Again, it goes back to what we were saying at the beginning about the game as a whole. There's nothing fluky about what they're doing.
Yeah.
Not when you do it every week, for the most part. I mean, for the most part, you allow play here or there because it's the NFL. But every week, they do better at shutting the other team down than they typically have done it against other teams. And they do all the things that are important to winning outside of maybe getting a few more turnovers at this point. And it's like, you know, the one other thing, and I'll just kind of go on a little tangent on this, is if, and I may write this, but if you go back and do a story and you really look at, let's look at the 6 to 7 critical offseason decisions that we debated hard for long periods of time.
Mm-hmm.
They've won all of them.
Yeah.
That goes all the way back to keep Zach Taylor and Lou Anarumo,
mm-hmm.
to Chase Versul, obviously, to Trey Hendrickson and Carl Lawson, to other draft pick situation that taking a kicker or whatever.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
If you want to go in there, you know, and to William Jackson walking.
Jackson Carmen.
All of this stuff that we spent forever debating, and a lot of people pretty adamantly claiming that they had screwed it up and botched it again. They've been proven right in pretty much everyone. And that happens when you have success like this. You have a lot of stories
sure.
like that.
Yeah.
But it's across the board. And I think when we start talking about who to give kudos to and discuss enough, the front office kind of standing by what they believed in and what they felt like needed to be right. And Zach Taylor and Duke Tobin and them, who have, Lord knows, caught a ton of heat.
Yeah.
You got to also go the other way when it all kind of pans out and they're proven correct, because in free agency and in the draft, a lot of big decisions were made and they've been proven to make the right ones that, across the board.
I was texting with somebody in the waning moments of Sunday's game, and the text I got was like, you know, the story is Zach Taylor has shut people up about his play calling. And to a degree, that is true. But I said, to me, the bigger story, not to take anything away from Zach, to me, the bigger story is Duke Tobin nailed this offseason and has built quietly a damn good roster. Because a lot of what they did was hotly debated. Folks wondered, Trey Hendrickson, was he a one-year wonder that put up a bunch of sack numbers in a defense that was conducive to doing so? Well, hey, you just let William Jackson III go away, and now you're replacing him with some guys who are sort of on the all whole. Yeah, that guy's still in the NFL league, you know, team. What they chose to do in the draft, not just the approach Chase versus Sewell, but Jackson Carmen, who has played fine when he finally got a chance to play. The McPherson decision, letting Carl Lawson walk, and unfortunately Carl's not playing because he's hurt. The decisions they've made in free agency to overpay in certain spots. DJ Reader, that was a contract that people were like, yeah, okay, is he worth that kind of money? Well, to this team, the answer has been yes. I mean, they have built, you know, again, they're not a finished product, but where are the holes in this roster? They've built a pretty airtight 53. I mean, they really have built a pretty airtight unit that there aren't many holes. And it feels like to a degree that that occurred almost overnight. Because coming into the season, we said, all right, quarterback's going to be pretty good. Wide receivers have a chance to be pretty special. Where are the strengths? And now, where are the weaknesses?
Yeah.
And that's happened very, very quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I still think, you know, you've still got the line needing, the offensive line is still probably, if you're talking about
it. It needs help,
it, yeah.
But it's not bad.
Yeah, no, it's not what it was.
Yeah.
You know, and that's been more than enough. And you can't be perfect everywhere. You obviously hope to be, but I think you're right. And so much of it goes back to, you know, what we've talked about a lot this offseason was this team was so hard to predict because you just didn't know what we missed. We missed a step last year. Because when Burrow goes out, the whole thing's a wash. And you missed a critical step in seeing where this team was at in their developmental process and the rebuild. And what we probably can look back pretty confidently now and say is if Burrow stays healthy last year, we would have seen them take half this step.
Mm-hmm.
We would have seen a team that would have probably won three or four games, a couple more games down the stretch that would have really made you foresee this more. But that was behind the curtain.
Yeah.
It was just because of that, none of us got to really see where they were at, and it all just sort of opened up this year to, okay, here's where you're at. And it's the best case scenario that everything has fallen into place. But, you know, there's a lot of chances for them to make missteps this offseason. And they just didn't. And
hey, when you and your buddies are looking for a place to watch baseball this season, how about Longneck Sports Grill? Each location has 4K TVs all over the place, so you'll never miss a pitch. The menu is so extensive that you can get something different every time you visit, and no place in Northern Kentucky has a better beer selection. There are locations in Wilder, Hebron, and Richwood, and when the weather is warm, there's nothing better than a spring night on Longneck's outdoor patio. This baseball season, Longneck Sports Grill. Stay late. Come often.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And also, I do think you've got to give time for these drafts to happen before you scream bust. And we certainly know that. And I think a lot of people.
You mean a couple of preseason games?
Right.
You should maybe wait for a guy to play a regular season game first.
Absolutely. And I would say this about the 2020 draft class as well. Mm-hmm. For people that were, you know, and I think uninspired by, you know, the linebackers last year and a lot of the guys involved in that. You give it time, and all of a sudden now you see a couple of draft classes that have stacked together to be cornerstones. Mm-hmm. The draft classes that we talk about when we talk with the reverence of the way they built the roster in 10 and 11. And, you know, that's it's game-changing stuff, and we saw in 10 and 11 what happens next. Windows.
Yeah.
Big, gaping windows to win, especially when you have a rookie quarterback contract in today's league.
All right, let's talk about what looms for the Bengals and the entire league in 1 week, and then I need your Brady Ball take.
I got one now.
All right, good, because I explained it to you.
Yeah, I needed a little
more. You haven't been all in on Brady Ball as much as everybody else.
We've been a bit in the weeds. I was in the Baltimore airport yesterday all day, pretty much. So
that doesn't sound much fun.
It's not. I think I'd rather have been talking about the Brady Ball.
I'll give you that chance in a few minutes. 14 away from 4 o'clock. This is ESPN 1530, Cincinnati Sports Station. 9 away from 4, ESPN 1530. Another few minutes with our buddy Paul Daner Jr. Bengals, and the NFL's trade deadline is in a week. Do you expect this around the league to be a busy trade deadline? We've had more trades in the NFL in recent years than we used to have. We just had one with Joe Flacco. He's been traded to the Jets.
So big news.
Huge. Do you expect this to be a busy time of year in terms of player swapping teams?
I don't. I mean, I don't see a ton of opportunity for. Usually, there's obvious big names and there's Deshaun Watson things hanging out there, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think for the most part, there's not a lot of obvious opportunity out there, and I don't know how many teams are in the burn it down situation. Clearly, like we've seen in past years, which a lot of deals have come from. Dolphins had a blow up a couple years ago, and many would argue the Bengals should have had one at the same time. And there, I don't see a lot of that potentially happening, which is usually the impetus behind a busy quote unquote trade deadline. Mm-hmm. So for that fact, I don't know that there will be, and there may be some. It's always possible, but I don't see too many big names really hanging out there, because usually you have a pretty good feel for players that might get unloaded, and there's just not a lot of that swimming around right now.
There are folks who will just assume that the Bengals won't do anything at the trade deadline because this is, quote, what they've never done. Do you believe, given where they are open to making their team better for the purposes of winning something big in 2021?
I'd be surprised by that. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've done things differently in the last couple of years in general, but this is one that has never really connected, especially when it comes to building into the window we just talked about before the break and understanding that the value in every pick and the value in roster depth this year, they feel like is going to be a bigger deal than going and bringing somebody in from the outside that might tinker with whatever the perfect chemistry is that you feel like you've put together with this team inside of the locker room. So it doesn't feel like the year that they do. I mean, you know, last year you had the Carlos trade for nothing. Yeah. I don't even know that I count that. It was such a different situation. Like, it had nothing to do with the fact that it was the trade deadline. It only had to do with the fact that it was this had happened in the season and it had to be addition by subtraction. But it doesn't really seem like something that I would see happening. I think they feel like they have everything going in the right direction and have enough people in-house to go win now, and that will be enough, and keep whatever assets for the future that they have. You know, I was asked this to do something on the trade deadline for every team in the Athletic, and I had to come up with something.
Well, I'm looking at it right now.
Darius Phillips was the only name that came
to
mind because he's kind of just become this afterthought, and somewhere somebody looks at his play and his PFF grades, or somebody looks at it and says, I don't know, this guy makes a lot of plays on the ball when he's out there. He's really fallen out of favor in Cincinnati. Maybe he's brought in, they got like Trey Flowers here now or whatever. Right. And like maybe there's something that can be had for that, and maybe they find that, But that's kind of, to me, was more of a stretch of if I have to come up with something, that would be the one.
Right. Very good. Well, in the offseason, you wanted to trade Joe Burrow. So I'm glad you've.
That's right. I forgot about that.
You've come off of that just a little bit. What would you have done with Tom Brady's 600th touchdown ball?
Here's my question.
Mm-hmm.
What is the difference between standing on the street and Tom Brady hits you with his car? Okay. And you're like, I can either, and you feel fine. It was just an accident.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm okay. I there's nothing wrong with me, or my neck, my back.
But a lot of us would just think it was cool that Tom Brady was the guy that hit you.
Right. And don't you think it's cool that you were the one in the middle of for a minute you had Tom Brady's 600th ball?
Yeah, but here's the thing. Getting hit by the car, if you're going to pursue that, that involves litigation, courtrooms, a judge. No, that's not worth the hassle. This doesn't involve such things. Now, I think the guy is getting greedy where it's like, all right, he's been given a Bitcoin. I will admit to being completely naive when it comes to the world of cryptocurrency. And whenever I say that, I'm flooded with people who are like, dude, I'm not doing that now. I one day, I can barely wrap my brain around how to use real currency, much less crypto. So I don't know a lot about that world. But so Brady's given him a Bitcoin, which is worth apparently like
$63,000, apparently.
Right. So he's gotten some signed helmets and jerseys. He's been given season tickets for the rest of this year and for next. But he has said he wants to play golf with Tom Brady. That's a bit much.
Yeah, now we're talking time.
Now we're talking 4 hours plus. Like, Brady is going to have to take some rando to a course. And this, you know, maybe the guy's as good of a golfer as I am, and so he has no business being on a track like this. That's like 4 hours. I don't play golf with strangers because that just, it's weird.
Yeah.
Now you're making Tom Brady, one of the world's most famous people, he's got to play with some random dude.
Putt-putt?
I would go to General Custard's and play putt.
I think that's it.
Yeah, I would do that.
I think that's the move. I'd say, let's meet in the middle here, and I'll do one round of putt-putt with you, and then we'll call it a day.
The ball is in your hands. Mike Evans gives you the ball. If you realize in that moment it's touchdown number 600, are you giving the ball back to Tom Brady?
Yes.
No questions.
No
not going to ask for a thing in return.
He did that. I didn't do anything but happened to be here. I don't want that's his ball. It's his achievement. Yeah. I'm not here to exploit it.
That sounds nice.
Yeah.
That sounds nice in theory. In practice, I've got this in my hands, and I'm starting to realize the potential that this ball could unlock. I don't know. Like, I've said I would give him the ball, but I don't blame anybody for, hey, this is my shot. This is my shot to change my life. And I would like to think that I would be the guy that would be like, oh, yeah, give Tom the ball. But it's a chance maybe to change my life. I'm not saying that that's exactly what I would do.
Well, I mean, maybe this round of mini golf will change this guy's life still. Good things come to you when you do nice
Here's
stuff
the thing
like
about
that.
About the round of golf. You go and you play golf with Tom Brady. Now, post-round beers, lunch.
Mm.
Like, it turns into a day, man.
You'd hope for a lunch.
Yeah, so now, again, it's time, right? Time is valuable. And if you're Tom Brady, your time's really valuable, especially because you don't want to hang out with some random dude. And they got to take him to your nicest course, got to play 18 with him. Who knows how good the guy is?
You know what you do?
Yeah.
You make Mike Evans do it. I mean, it's his fault.
Uh-huh.
He's the one that threw the ball in the stands when he shouldn't have.
Right. So make him tag along for the round?
No, he has to do the round.
He has to do the round, Tom.
You're like, look, you can't get Brady, but Evans will come play with you and take you to lunch and a post-game pop.
It's like an eight-hour day.
Mike Evans shouldn't have thrown that ball in.
I'm with you there.
And Mike will do whatever Tom tells him.
Well, yes, he should. And I guess did. But and now, like moving forward, every ball that Tom Brady throws for a touchdown is a new record-setting touchdown ball. If you're on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you have to be very cognizant moving forward of what happens with balls Tom Brady throws you that result in touchdowns.
I have a feeling they're going to hold them still with two hands and run them directly to Tom or the equipment guy.
Here you go, Tom.
Yeah. Nobody. I don't want to be in some round of golf like Mike Evans is. All right. I need to make sure this ball gets where it goes.
That would be a tough punishment. Now you got to go play golf with some random guy. And I don't know, man.
Yeah, I don't think Tom's going to go for that. I'll be interested to see if the round of golf occurs.
My guess is no.
Yeah, my guess is
no. My guess is Tom Brady. Like,
this is enough.
Yeah, I got you jerseys.
I got you Bitcoin.
Now, the season tickets, I said I would hold out for at least two expense-paid roadies, warm weather cities, one game in a suite.
That's fair.
Yeah.
And then the thing is, his leverage is all gone. They have the ball. He's got nothing he can do.
On the Manning cast last night. It's like, dude had no leverage. What does he want?
Yeah.
But I would just, yeah, that's what I would have asked for.
Yeah.
All right. We have to go.
Sorry.
We'll see you next week.
Yeah.
Read Paul, theathletic.com. Hear his podcast he does with Jay Morrison. Hear that podcast growling. The latest edition is available right now. It's 4 o'clock. Are we going to play our compilation of people saying dumb things about the Bengals before the draft, Aaron? That's coming up next? Great. That's coming up. ESPN 1530, Cincinnati Sports Station. Damn straight, 7 after 4. We're late. This is ESPN 1530. My name's Mo Egger. Thanks so much for joining us. You'll hear the best of Luke Fickell from his press conference today in just about 15 minutes. And a thought or two emanating from Saturday's narrow win over Navy, which some, I think, processed like it was a loss. a lot of us who were on Team Chase are taking a victory lap. And how could you not, right? He's been fantastic, historically great through his first seven games. He showed you everything he can do against the Baltimore Ravens and one of the best cover corners in the NFL on Sunday. The Burrow to Chase connection is one of the NFL's best, and the potential for this offense, in large part because of Ja'Marr Chase's presence on it, suddenly seems limitless. I have no issue with Penei Sewell. I never had an issue with Penei Sewell. I hope Penei Sewell, for his sake, ends up being a very good NFL player. By the way, he graded really well in Detroit's last game against the Los Angeles Rams. There is a part of me that felt bad for Penei Sewell, because when you enter the NFL and you're instantly and unfairly compared to one of the all-time best, that hoists upon you expectations that are impossible to live up to. I mean, from the get-go, from since before last season ended, when the Bengals beat the Steelers that week 15 game and a lot of folks were losing their mind, oh, we can't get Penei Sewell, he's the next Anthony Munoz. Dude, what are we doing here? So in part because of that, I'm rooting for the guy because I thought those expectations were unfair. And even if you aren't rooting for Penei Sewell, I don't know that there's any compelling reason to root against him. But the whole Chase versus Sewell thing, it should have been nothing more than a conversation, and a good one, about which player do you prefer? Or which approach do you prefer? And I think there were very compelling arguments in favor of taking Penei Sewell. There's never not a reason to look at drafting a guy that many believe is the best offensive lineman in the class. I don't care if you have a good offensive line or a bad one. There's never any reason to just instantly dismiss the idea. And had the Bengals taken Penei Sewell, I think most of us would have said, yeah, okay. Even those of us who were pretty emphatically on, quote, Team Chase, would have said, I get it. I know what they're trying to do. It makes sense. I wrote a piece this offseason about the Los Angeles Chargers. The Los Angeles Chargers' approach to this offseason was drastically different than Cincinnati's. In free agency and in the draft, they prioritized the offensive line and nothing else. And the Bengals didn't prioritize the offensive line quite as much. Both teams may end up being in the postseason. Both teams may end up being very good. Both franchises may be pointed upward and headed for long-term sustained success. There's no one way to do it. But the part that I thought was galling at the time and seems laughable now, and the reason why so many of us who were on Team Chase have spent the last couple of weeks taking a victory lap, isn't because there were some who wanted the Bengals to take Penei Sewell. It's because it wasn't merely enough to say they should take Penei Sewell. You then had to go down the road of these narratives that frankly never made a whole lot of sense. Taryn, we have a compilation of some of them. This is all pre-draft, but how long is this? Minute 50. Here are some of the really hot takes about the Bengals possibly not taking Penei Sewell before the draft actually happened.
Hey, when you and your buddies are looking for a place to watch baseball this season, how about Longneck Sports Grill? Each location has 4K TVs all over the place, so you'll never miss a pitch. The menu is so extensive that you can get something different every time you visit, and no place in Northern Kentucky has a better beer selection. There are locations in Wilder, Hebron, and Richwood, and when the weather is warm, there's nothing better than a spring night on Longneck's outdoor patio. This baseball season, Longneck Sports Grill. Stay late. Come often.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. it's malpractice when there's a player like Penei Sewell available. Like, Penei Sewell should not go past the Bengals. If the Bengals go for Ja'Marr Chase or another receiver instead of Penei Sewell, that is a problem. That is malpractice. I believe it. So you want a better quarterback? Get Penei Sewell. He'll make your bad quarterback okay. He'll make your okay quarterback good. He'll make your good quarterback great. That is who you want.
And what the fuck is you
what
talking?
What the fuck was that?
I really hope they take the tackle. I mean, I really, really hope they protect Joe. He's proven to that organization that he can carry the load. He doesn't need a ton of weapons around him. He needs to be able to step into throws. He needs to be able to, you know, drop back with confidence that he can get to his second read and third read. They need so much help up front. And if you can get all the weapons you want, but if you can't hold the ball for 2 or 3 seconds in the pocket and let guys get open, it doesn't matter who you got outside.
What are you babbling about, you bag of bones? You don't even work here anymore, you stupid idiot.
Yeah, the thing that was really disappointing was our friend Mo Eggers out of Cincinnati.
Eggers.
You know, yesterday we saw the Super League just disband overnight. If the Cincinnati Bengals don't draft an offensive tackle, they should be disbanded and revoked from the NFL. Keyshawn was 1,000% right. Last year, this is remarkable, guys. Joe Burrow threw the ball 450 times in 10 games. Unacceptable. They cannot go out on the field this year unless they draft an offensive tackle, Penei Sewell, with the 5th pick. And it bothers me when people say, oh, just get him another weapon. Oh, how many games would he play this year? He played 10 last year. You want him playing 6 or 4? So when Mo Egger said they can't make a mistake, yeah, Mo, you made a mistake because you picked the wrong guy.
Shut up.
So we had there Dominic Foxworth, Carson Palmer. I thought Carson Palmer's take was a little bit more measured than Dominique's or certainly Mike Tannenbaum's, who, waiting for him to come on the show to tell me, actually, I didn't make a mistake. This was never about taking the lineman instead of the wide receiver or vice versa. For most of us, except for some, it became about, if they don't take Sewell, it's malpractice. No, it's not. It reflects how the Bengals feel about a possible offense-changing wide receiver and what they can still do on the offensive line. What bothered me, and the reason why a lot of us have brought up the Chase versus Sewell debate in the wake of what's happened over the last couple of weeks, is how silly does Mike Tannenbaum sound right now? I know he wasn't legitimately saying the Bengals should be kicked out of the NFL, but it wasn't good enough to simply say, you know what, I'd prefer the offensive lineman. By the way, there's people around this team, like Dan Hort, who's more Cincinnati's Costas than Cincinnati's Bayless, very measured, legitimate take. I think he wanted the Bengals to take Penei Sewell, and that wasn't wrong. What was wrong is, see, this is why they're irresponsible. This is malpractice. This is why this organization has no idea what they're doing. It wasn't just about, I would prefer they take the offensive lineman, and here's why. This is why this player is a better fit than this player. It had to be about these narratives that never made any sense. Getting the Ja'Marr Chase pick right, which I think we would agree the Bengals did, isn't just about getting the player right. It is about the thought process being proven to be correct. The thought process was, if you add a wide receiver of his caliber to what they already have, that in itself will enable the quarterback to be better protected. I believe that. I believe that wholeheartedly. One of the arguments I tried to make, and you can't help but compare it to the last time the Bengals had a good offensive line. Andy Dalton started to have problems. His offensive line got worse. But also, that group of targets he had in 2015 started to go away. Sanu and Jones gone at the end of that year. Eifert was never consistently healthy. A.J. Green missed a bunch of time. I watched Andy Dalton have guys not be able to get open, even before Andrew Whitworth and Kevin Zeitler left. Getting the Ja'Marr Chase pick, they didn't just get the player right. Their philosophy, so far at least, has been proven to be one that can work. It doesn't have to be the only way. It's not the only way. The beauty of sports is there's never one way to win. The great thing about football is there's no one way to win. If there was, every team would run the same offense, would run the same defense, would have the same draft strategies. That would be boring. There's not one way to do it. There is validity and always was validity to the idea that, you know what? If we're okay on the offensive line and we have guys who are getting open, catching passes from a quarterback who's great pre-snap, good in the pocket, and decisive with his decisions, our offense can flourish, he can stay healthy, and the explosiveness that we lacked can be a dimension that we take advantage of. That was the argument in favor of taking Ja'Marr Chase. A lot of people didn't want to hear it. Dominic Foxworth apparently didn't want to hear it. Mike Tannenbaum didn't want to hear it. A lot of folks who engaged in this discussion back during the spring didn't want to have it. This wasn't about preferring one player over the other as much as it was, all right, what philosophy do you buy into? There is a great amount of validity to the idea that, you know what, put a quarterback behind a great offensive line, and it doesn't matter who he's throwing to, and maybe that will work. The Los Angeles Chargers, I believe, do not have as good a group of pass catchers as the Cincinnati Bengals, but they have a quality quarterback with a very good arm. They're putting behind him a good offensive line, and their game against the Baltimore Ravens notwithstanding, the Los Angeles Chargers look like one of the better teams in the NFL. I'd say better teams in the AFC. That team's got a chance to win the division. I still think they will win the division. With the Bengals, it was a school of thought says this. You got a quarterback. You like how smart he is. You like his physical tools. You think he's good pre-snap. You think he's good at reading defenses. You think he's going to grow into having really good pocket awareness. Let's improve our offensive line, which, by the way, okay, new right tackle, a guard they took with the 46th pick, a left tackle they needed to stay healthy who they took with the 11th overall pick. If we're okay on the offensive line and we've got a bunch of dudes who are winning one-on-one battles at the snap, Joe Burrow's going to have guys he can get the ball to instantly. That in itself will keep him upright. That's worked this year. It wasn't about Chase versus Sewell as much as it was a little bit of a discussion about different philosophies that you could use. The Chargers chose one philosophy. It is neither wrong or right in terms of how it's going to affect that team. Time will tell. Same for the Bengals. So far, it's been right. But it wasn't enough to just say that. You had to go down these. I can't tell you how many times I heard, even in the aftermath of taking Ja'Marr Chase, see, they don't care about offensive linemen. Whoa, 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 whoa. What? 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 You mean the team that used first rounders in 2015, 18, and 19 on linemen doesn't care about offensive linemen? Seriously? You're going to tell me that? Look, I'll beat up the Bengals for a lot of different things. And look, they cared about Bobby Hart too much. They gave him way too much money, and they got the Billy Price pick wrong, and they got the Cedric Oboehe pick wrong. But it's malpractice. It's malpractice. Oh, they're letting Joe Burrow have too much of a say. Well, why wouldn't he have a say? And why wouldn't you listen to him when it came to Ja'Marr Chase? But it's about a philosophy that in this league can work. I don't know that it's going to work here to the extent that we would like. But as somebody who's been watching this sport my entire life, yes, I've seen teams with okay offensive lines do all right because they had quarterbacks that had a certain skill set, had great pocket awareness, and had dudes who were winning battles, getting open. Nobody wanted to talk about 2015. The Bengals had a great offensive line. Andy Dalton, every time he dropped back, had somebody open. AJ, Marvin Jones, Mohamed Sanu, Giovanni Bernard, Tyler Eifert. Always had somebody open, and he was great, in spite of his deficiencies, great at getting rid of the ball quickly and decisively without making mistakes. Joe Burrow's better than Andy Dalton. And I think you could argue this group of skill guys is comparable. Right now, frankly, I think they're better at running back. So, yeah, they got the Ja'Marr Chase thing right, but more than anything, what's happened over the first seven games has at least to a degree proven that their line of thinking was working. And their line of thinking wasn't limited to, we think Chase is better than Sewell. It was, here's how we believe we can go about winning with what we have, and here's what Ja'Marr Chase can add to it, and here's what we can do on the offensive line. And all of that can add up to an explosive offense and a quarterback who's not getting carted off. A lot of us tried to articulate that before the draft. Unfortunately, what makes the headline is words like malpractice and verbiage that suggests the team should be kicked out of the league if they don't take the lineman. That's why a lot of us are taking a victory lap, because those people didn't want to listen to the suggestion that there's more than one way to win in this league, and there's more than one way to keep your quarterback healthy. 21 after 4. Your phone calls are ahead at 513-749-1530. This is what this really was all about. It's taken seven games of Ja'Marr Chase being incredible and Joe Burrow establishing one of the best connections in the league with his top wide receiver in order for, I think, a lot of folks to realize this. Getting the Ja'Marr Chase pick right was not just about getting the Ja'Marr Chase pick right. Luke Fickell spoke today, a couple of days after his team escaped Navy. You'll hear from the Bearcats head coach next. Keyshawn Johnson joining us. So the schedule to in just about 8 minutes, 25 after 4. This is ESPN 1530. We're running behind. Clock management, not my strength today. Nor is saying clock management. The interview about that in your little producer article there, Taryn, on Barrett Sports Media. Luke Fickell talked today, college head coaches, not as important as NFL head coaches who talk twice a week, although we are going to play Mike Tomlin emphatically shooting down USC. I'm not even sure we call them rumors, but I thought it was great what Mike Tomlin did today. Luke Fickell's team coming off what was not a great performance against Navy. Call it what it is. We'll talk about it more with Justin Williams from The Athletic coming up at 5:20 today. But here is UC's head coach talking about moving on from the Navy game, the team's inability to put the midshipmen away in the fourth quarter, and avoiding something similar against a bad Tulane team this Saturday.
What do you learn from a fourth quarter like that, where up 17, you maybe had a chance to create some space and ultimately let them crawl back in?
Yeah, I mean, you learn that, obviously, there's about finish, but I think really, no matter what, whether it's there, whether whoever, when it comes down to that last 2 minutes of the game, you really are going to find out, you know, can guys perform at the highest level when it's really tough? And, you know, we say you really find out more about yourself in those adverse situations. And we hadn't had to play in some of those uncomfortable situations. I'm not saying we didn't. Obviously, Indiana was a really tough game and not real, you know, the first 28 minutes. And Notre Dame was an incredible challenge. But when it gets into the fourth quarter, when those situations are like they are, you got to find the guys that are, you know, going to be able to be comfortable. And I mean, play and perform in those really uncomfortable situations. And, you know, I think that's what we really kind of found out about ourselves and a lot of different guys.
You're going to face another team with not a great record, but they'll have the home crowd behind them and they'll come in looking to topple everything you've built. Mm-hmm. Is that going to be a part of the mission to this, the message this week to make sure you guys don't look over this thing?
It's always key to know what you're walking into. And, you know, I think that's where the maturity of our program's got to take over. Not just handling the outside things, but knowing what every week we're going to walk into. And there's some things that you're unknown, but, you know, it's a football team that, you know, pop on game one and watch them play against Oklahoma, and they got a chance to win the football game. And, you know, sometimes things don't go their way, and maybe in the last few weeks have not gone their way, but, you know, they're still scary. They're an offense scoring 31 points a game, and, you know, in the situation to which they're in, they're going to be, you know, free-spirited, knowing that they're going to be, you know, able to do a lot of different things and take some chances and shots. And that's why I'm saying for us, we got to focus on ourselves. We got to make sure we're mature enough to realize what it is that we're going to be walking into. And we don't always know what that is, meaning I don't know what the crowd's going to be like. Maybe the crowd's going to be really, really crazy and it's going to be hard for our guys to hear. Or you might go in there like last week. They didn't play any music in pregame. I mean, it was a little different. And I think no matter what, as a competitor, you got to go in, make sure you focus on yourself and know what to expect and prepare yourself that way.
Talk about how nasty it gets at the line of scrimmage against Navy. Is there any concern the following week of a little hangover from that?
Well, if you really look at the history of playing a triple option team, it's the week after that a lot of times those teams have bigger problems. And, you know, not because they're dinged up or hurt at times. It's just, you know, whatever it is that you normally do, you go away from everything. So, you know, that's where you're going to rely upon the Joel, the Blancos of the world, and the, you know, Majay Sanders and the Darian Beavers, who have played a lot of football. That, hey, when Sunday hit, once Saturday at 4:30 was, I mean, I'm not saying we didn't watch the game film and get a lot of things from it, but it's like, put that thing behind you now. Make sure we get our minds back into how we play defensively. And so sometimes it's more of that where you got to rely upon, you know, the experiences that you've had.
Luke Fickell earlier today, UC and Tulane on Saturday at noon from New Orleans. And look, I think in terms of the college football playoff,
This baseball season, catch every game at Long Neck Sports Grill. There are three locations in Northern Kentucky, Wilder, Hebron, and Richwood. Each one of them very easy to get to. Each one of them has 4K TVs all over the place, and the sound will be on. Plus, no place in Northern Kentucky has better wings, and there's also no more extensive beer selection than the one you'll find at Long Neck's. Long Neck Sports Grill. And by the way, when the weather gets warm, there's nothing like Long Neck's patio. Long Neck Sports Grill. Stay late. Come often.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
More thoughts on this in just a bit. I think the margin for error has shrunk. I think if you went into the season thinking that UC had a chance to make the college football playoff, you should still feel that way. And if you went into the season thinking UC had no chance to make the college football playoff, you probably still feel that way. Slightly more interested in the football part of this because the two things that stood out to me more than anything were, number one, the offense did not play great. Desmond Ridder did not have a good day, and it just felt like there was an unwillingness to do things outside the box to get the running game going. And two would be when Navy did throw against a secondary this good, albeit with the personnel deployed to stop the run, things came at times just a little bit too easy. Thought the most interesting development of the entire game might have been Christian Lowry comes on, makes a field goal, and Alex Bales makes a 52-yarder, which is the longest kick made by a UC field goal kicker since 2008. And what that might mean moving forward for a team that has had such a hard time in the place-kicking department. Your phone calls are ahead. We have Mike, John, Dave, Davey, two E's at the end. Davey. Okay, very good. All, and one local line open at 513-749-1530. Keyshawn Johnson joins us on Tuesdays. We are expecting his call next.
I bet you 55 have one of the worst days of his pro career. I bet you that. Just mark my word. When we speak next Tuesday, I'm going to be like, damn, keep doing right.
All right, well, let's do it. It's 26 away from 5 o'clock. This is ESPN 1530. I'm Mo Egger. Keyshawn Johnson, one-third of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Every weekday morning on ESPN 1530, 6 to 10. They've talked a lot about the Bengals. Had Anthony Munoz on yesterday. All right, we marked your words. Logan Wilson maybe didn't have the best game of his career, but it wasn't the worst.
Nah, it didn't. It wasn't the best. It wasn't the worst. He escaped. They got to see him again.
Yeah, they got to see him again. I wish, I'm like the guy who gave up Tom Brady's ball. Now, I wish I would have like agreed to terms on a bet because that would have been fun for me. Instead, all I could do is replay the audio.
Yeah, I wouldn't giving up that ball at all if I was him. I'm serious. I don't want no damn Tom Brady jersey. That can't do nothing for me. Here's what I would negotiate. If I would have been negotiating that,
yeah,
I'd say give me $1 million in cash, all cash, because y'all got it.
Mm-hmm.
I want it all one. I wanted it all $1 bill. I want 4 years of season tickets too in my same location I was sitting in.
Mm-hmm.
I want a signed jersey from Tom Brady and a signed football with a picture. And I want to be able to travel to any team away game of my choice on the team charter. And then they would have said no. And you know what I said? Okay.
I'll take the ball and go home.
I'll take the ball and go home, and then I'll sell it on FT or whatever, one of them NFTs or something. That's what I would have did. I'd have made it. I'd have made them bargain. Ooh, I'd have made them pay. They'd have hate me. They'd have banned me from any sporting events in Tampa.
So, as a former player, has there ever been a piece of memorabilia, a ball, something that you wanted that a fan had that you had to negotiate to get?
No, because if I caught any of the balls, I kept the balls that I wanted to keep or gave them to the fans. You know, and I don't know if Tom wanted to keep it or maybe the Hall of Fame or something. I don't know where the ball went. if it was a Tom deal or a Hall of Fame deal. But I'm negotiating. I don't want no damn jerseys. Let's negotiate. Look, there's no need. We can talk about this. Just keep playing the game. The ball ain't going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. We got all year to negotiate.
Yeah. I wonder in real time, you know, I think a lot of us who follow this closely would have said, yeah, that's number 600. I don't know that there are many fans who would have been given the ball that would have put two and two together. Oh, yeah, this is a significant milestone in football. And then if they don't, maybe somebody else does.
Think about it. In Major League Baseball, them dudes be keeping them balls and selling them jokers for millions of dollars. I ain't no super fan like that. I'm like, you're not getting ready. Tom Brady's football was like one of those 73, whatever those numbers are, when they was hitting all those home runs. That's what that is. Like, that's what that is. So why am I giving that away? I'm not giving that away. It was given to me, and I'm keeping it until such due time that we negotiate.
Would if there was an item that a fan had of yours that you wanted back, would you be willing to give up cash?
Depends on what it is.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it just depends on what it is. If you know, when you go to a team and a guy's got your number, well, nobody really had my number when I was playing, but if somebody had my number and I was on a team and I wanted my number because I wanted 19, what's the price? They tell me 200, 300, I'll give it to them.
It's worth that much to you.
Or I'll wait you out because you're going to get cut anyway.
Fair enough. So the Bengals did hammer the Baltimore Ravens, and you guys have spent the last couple of mornings talking about them a lot. You talked a lot about this game in the run-up to it. I think fans here are asking, kind of looking at the landscape of the AFC, well, why not the Bengals? Why not the Bengals in this division? Why not the Bengals in the AFC? I'll ask you that question less rhetorically. Why not the Cincinnati Bengals in the AFC in 2021?
Well, I think they can win the division for sure. The only question I would have when you start to get deep playoff runs and stuff like that is the experience side of it for the coach and the players. Not a lot of experience. So I would, you know, not necessarily question that. I would probably look at that part of it and say to myself, well, they're a little inexperienced. The clock is they're ahead of the clock right now. So anything that they're doing right now is gravy.
You and I have talked a lot about Ja'Marr Chase. I'm less interested in what the Bengals did at the draft, but I'm more interested in just, all right, these next 10 weeks for him. He had a great game against Marlon Humphrey. Defenses are going to get more sophisticated. Coordinators are going to find out, you know, try to come up with more ways to at least slow him down. If you had a chance to sit one-on-one with Ja'Marr to tell him, okay, you've had this initial burst of success, and now here's what you got to prepare for that's next, what would you tell him?
Well, I wouldn't tell him. I'm just telling him just keep doing what he's doing because he's a real football player. Like, this is what he does for a living. This is not one of those, oh, wow, he really got good. I mean, he's really a good football player. So he can make the necessary adjustments to beat the double teams, you know, stay patient, run your routes, catch the football. That's really all he has to do. It's up to the coaches to put him in a position to beat the double coverages that he'll be getting or the shade from the safety that he may be getting. He may not get doubled. He may get a corner and then a little bit of help over the top type situation opposed to a true double team.
Put a defensive coordinator's hat on, because with the way they're playing offensively, and look, they're healthy, they've got a good group of wide receivers. Like, we saw what they can do at tight end on Sunday with CJ Uzama. There's Joe Mixon. If you're going to come up with something to slow this team down, where does that start?
I mean, you got to apply pressure to the quarterback, right? You cut the snake off, you cut the head off the snake, and the snake shall die. And that's what you do with getting after the quarterback. You apply pressure to him, and you harass him, and you show him exotic coverages and things that he's never seen before as a young player. See, I'd like to see him against Bill Belichick, somebody who's known for causing problems for young quarterbacks.
Yeah, I watched Bill Belichick do that against Tom Brady a couple of weeks ago. Granted, in a game that Tampa Bay won, but if you can, and the Bengals don't get New England this year, but if you can confuse Tom Brady, I think it would be interesting to see what he could do against somebody who has a fraction of his experience.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it'd just be interesting to see that chess match of Belichick's defense and what they do versus the guy who's having success with some pretty good skill position players.
If we would have bet something on the Logan Wilson game, what would I have been reasonable to ask for, like, us to put on the line?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I don't know. What? Go come to a Cincinnati game or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I could have wagered that. I could have got you to Paul Brown State. Now, that would have been big.
But I wouldn't have bet that he was going, that Cincinnati was going to lose the game.
Right. I get that. You just thought Logan was going to have a terrible game.
Yeah, I thought that they was going to – he didn't play great. He didn't play bad. He just was on the field.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of times when the game going in a different direction, you're now – if you're Logan Wilson, you got saved. But it's going to be in the back of the minds of Baltimore next time they see him. They don't forget stuff like that.
Yeah. Well – I mean, look, I didn't think Lamar played poorly, but I watched Logan Wilson waiting for the worst game that he's had, and it didn't happen. But we'll talk before they play again, and maybe we'll revisit this. I look forward to that.
Yeah, no, they won. It's fair and square. They won the game. But typically when you see a guy start to, you know, start saying things about one of the top players, they have something in store for you. It doesn't usually go your way.
Yes. No, I agree with that, but just – the score right now is Mo 1, Keyshawn none. Keyshawn nothing.
Oh, yeah. Right, yeah, no, I'll take that hit.
All right, very take good. We'll do it again next week, man. Thanks so much.
All right, buddy.
Keyshawn Johnson, one-third of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. I did not ask about USC this week. Why? Because Bearcat fans are getting mad at me because I bring it up to them. Look, I don't know who USC is going to hire. It doesn't sound like they're going to hire Mike Tomlin. I don't know if they're going to hire Luke Fickell. I don't know if they want to hire Luke Fickell. That decision is not going to be made because I'm joking about it with Keyshawn Johnson. I wish I had that kind of juice. I do want to play the Mike Tomlin denial of any interest in USC. We'll do that at 5:33. It's 16 away from 5 o'clock. Now we're going to take – well, not now. We're going to play commercials. Then we're going to take phone calls. Quickly on – The UC thing in the college football playoff. I think there's something that you believed. If you believed that the Navy win, as narrow as it was, has hurt UC's chances of playing for a championship. We'll do that next and take phone calls on ESPN 1530. I hit myself in the face with my headphones. Taryn, could you describe what just happened during that... little exchange there. He asked what's happening in the NBA. I went to exclaim Knicks, who host the Philadelphia 76ers tonight. Don't know if Joel Embiid is going to play. Knicks team total over 109.5. No real feel for the line. New York laying 2. And then describe what happened.
You hit yourself in the mouth with your headphones.
Yeah, I'm going to think I get a fat lip over this. Smacked myself right in the grill.
You were that excited to talk about the New York Knicks.
I was. That was my chance. He asked, what's happening in the NBA? Knicks, Sixers tonight. Maybe the national undercard, perhaps, to the World Series. It is a national TV game. It's one thing now. Like, I've been a league pass guy for, like, a decade, and the Knicks, for most of that time, have stunk. And so now it's just been, like, me watching these games by myself. But now, you know, they matter. They're relevant. They're not great. They're not going to win the East or anything, but... you know, they matter now. And so now they're getting the ESPN treatment and TNT treatment. And suddenly it's like, a lot of folks in my life are watching the Knicks. Sometimes that's really good. Sometimes not so good. We'll see. Quickly here, then your phone calls on the Bearcats. Look, Saturday was frustrating. I don't believe that Saturday on its own eliminates UC from the college football playoff. I am maybe giving the committee, not AP voters or coaches poll voters, but the committee a little bit more credit than it deserves, in large part because I'm a big college football playoff selection committee skeptic. I think if you believe that 7-point win over Navy torpedoed their chances of being in the college football playoff, if you think that, I believe that you never thought they had a chance to begin with. And by the way, that point of view is fair. I think it is completely fair to look at the history of the college football playoff, understand how it's structured, and think that it's insanely far-fetched to believe a school from the American Athletic Conference is ever going to have a chance to play for a championship. But if you believed going into this season that they at least had a chance, then surely you didn't believe they were going to win every single game in the conference by 4 or 5 touchdowns. I think this coming Saturday is enormous, because if that game against Tulane looks like the one we just watched on Saturday, then it's a problem. I believe in life, you're allowed one-offs. You're allowed outliers. If you know, really kind of hard for me to show up late to work. I work at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I've been here for 24 years. If I miss a meeting, or if I'm late to a meeting, not that we have many of them, because you work in radio to not go to meetings, that's a one-off. It's an outlier. But if it starts happening again and again and again and again, they're going to have a conversation with me.
This baseball season, catch every pitch at Long Neck Sports Grill. Each location has 4K TVs, so you never miss a game. The menu is so extensive, you can get something different every time you visit. I love the wings. And no place in Northern Kentucky has a better beer selection. Locations in Wilder, Hebron, and Richwood. And when the weather is warm, there's nothing better than a warm spring night on Long Neck's outdoor patio. Long Neck Sports Grill. This baseball season, stay late, come often.
If Saturday proves to be the exception and not the rule, if the rule is, man, Cincinnati played Navy and Tulane and Tulsa and USF and they barely skated by, that is going to be used against them. We can debate whether or not it should. But if you've believed, if you went into the season thinking this could be it, you can't suddenly go, well, now they have no chance. Really? We didn't. And I'm talking about you as a fan, not the committee. You as a fan, you went into the season going, this is it. This could be the chance. This could be the breakthrough. Cincinnati might do it. And that's up in flames, because they only won a game by 7 points. That they led at one point by 17. I didn't like that performance. We've outlined that. The football end of it was a little bit troubling to me. Offensively, they can't play that way. Forget the weird offense they were playing against. To me, the bigger trouble was couldn't run the ball effectively. Desmond Ridder as a runner was not used. He made poor decisions throwing the ball. This team just lacked explosiveness. Navy's defense had something to do with that. They're, you know, give that team a lot of credit for being really well prepared. It's always somewhat weird playing service academies. But if you went into the season going, this could be it, suddenly that's up in flames because they barely beat Navy, then why did you have hopes to begin with? You were attaching, I think, expectations to this team that were probably a little bit unreasonable. They weren't going to blow everybody out. Now, they also can't narrowly beat everybody. Between now and SMU, they would be served right to blow everybody out. And you could attach whatever figure you want to that. But if you think they're done, if you think lost by 7, psh, no chance, then you didn't think they had a chance to begin with, right? And I don't necessarily think that that's an unfair point of view, because of the skepticism many of us have about how a G5 school might fare with the college football playoff committee. John, you are on ESPN 1530. How are you?
I'm fine, Mo. How are you doing?
I have never been better.
It was such a weekend for you know, people like us, the Cincinnati fans. I've got some problems with some decisions that have been made recently in the past. I mean, the last couple, 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got to say that, you know, I was a season ticket holder for over 30 years, and I had fantastic seats, 5 rows behind the Bengal bench, 4 seats. So, you know, you can really make a day of it.
Mm-hmm.
But look what happened to them. I mean, Andy Dalton probably was the only quarterback I could, you know, as far as I remember with the Bengals, that won 4 straight playoff games. I mean, it was in the games. He didn't win them.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of different reasons. And I remember you had strongly advocated that the Bengals sign him to a long-term contract.
In 14, okay. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, everything was looking great.
Mm-hmm.
Things change so fast. I am worried about the protection for Joe. I think Joe is great. I think he is going to turn this team around. I think Joe is and has the capability of being our Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a very likable guy, but he's also a very talented guy. My worry is that the protection for him. You know, I was surprised that Baltimore couldn't put more pressure on the guy. I think they only sacked him once.
Mm-hmm.
And the quarterback for Baltimore was sacked, I think, six times. Wasn't that Lamar Jackson?
Five
times. I mean, wow. So much of the game is determined by the line.
Sure.
Offensive and defensive. This is my problem.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the linebacker that made the mistake on Brown was the receiver, and they were playing here in a rainstorm at a first play.
Vontaze Burfict.
Who was that?
Vontaze Burfict. Mm-hmm.
So, Andy Whitworth wanted to stay in Cincinnati. He loved Cincinnati. His kids were in school in Cincinnati, and he didn't want to pick them up and take them to Los Angeles or wherever he ended up. He wanted to stay here.
Mm-hmm.
He expressed that very well to Marvin Lewis and the rest of the people. I'm a little surprised because I have so much respect for Duke Tobin that he went ahead and said, we've got to sign Vontaze Burfict. So Andy Whitworth's got to go.
I don't know that was an either or proposition. I don't know that it was. We're going to keep Vontaze Burfict instead of Andrew Whitworth.
I'm sorry.
I don't know that it came down to we want to keep Vontaze Burfict, so we're not going to be able to keep Andrew Whitworth. I don't think that's how it played out.
I read it in the Enquirer. I think it could have been Doherty, but I'm not for sure. Yeah. But I know I came away saying, what in the hell are we doing?
Yeah, so... Vontaze Burfict signed his last contract with the Bengals in August of 2014. Andrew Whitworth got away in March of 2017. So when Vontaze got his contract, that was not in line with when Andrew Whitworth left to go play for the Rams.
Okay.
Now, Vontaze, I misspoke, I'm sorry. Vontaze did sign a deal later that September. But, look, they offered Andrew Whitworth a contract. They made a wager. And, frankly, I understand the wager the Bengals made. Andrew Whitworth was 35 years old.
Yeah, I understand.
Players don't get better post 35. They drop off. Andrew defied the odds and has gone to Los Angeles, and he's played great. The odds were not in favor of that happening. Would we all have liked to have him here? Sure. And did the Bengals make an offer? Yeah.
Oh,
I don't know that it was as cut and dry as Vontaze signed in September of 2017. So I gave you bad info. But I don't know that it was as cut and dry as we're going to sign Andrew Whitworth or Vontaze Burfict. Now, Burfict got his deal months after Whitworth left. But I think financially they could have done both. I think with Whitworth it was, we have a 35-year-old offensive lineman. Are we going to pay him more and have him not get better? And the odds were he wasn't going to get better. I mean, mm-hmm. Nobody wanted to frame it that way, and they also let Kevin Zeitler go that offseason.
Yeah.
But, again, they bet on Andrew Whitworth not playing at the same level that he had played at in such a long time. And most of the time, the team that does that is going to get it right. Unfortunately for the Bengals, they got it wrong, and the plan to replace him with Cedric Obwehi or somebody else never materialized. Like, if Cedric Obwehi would have played at the level they thought, when they used a first-round pick on him, and you would have been able to plug him in and have him play well, nobody would have talked about Andrew Whitworth. It wasn't just that Whitworth got away. It's that they had no suitable replacement. Now, you may argue that should have compelled them to overpay. But at face value, they looked at a 35-year-old guy and said, this guy's been really good. There's a pretty good chance his best years are behind him. The way it worked out, Andrew defied the odds. Good for him. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame, or at least I think he should be. But I don't crush them. I don't crush them to the same extent that everybody else does for the way that played out.
Yeah. I liked Andy Whitworth very much. Mm-hmm. I thought this guy is a leader for this ball club. And, he actually has such a swagger that he challenges the defense to try to get that quarterback.
All right, so, John, quickly, because I'm up against it, that was four years ago. That's okay, but that was 4 years ago, so it's maybe time to move on from Andrew Whitworth.
By the way, I have a tremendous respect for Duke Tobin.
Yeah.
Based on some comments you made, that I respect you, Mo. I mean,
there's no reason to respect me.
Every day, and if you say something, I usually stop and listen to it. But I look at what Tobin did on the quarterback selection years ago when Mike Brown wanted to draft the guy who took the knee, Colin
Kaepernick. Mm-hmm.
Mike Brown wanted to draft him first or whatever, and Tobin put up his hand. He says, "You don't want this guy. You want Andy Dalton. He fits our culture."
Yeah, and it worked out to a degree. I think not the political part of this not being a part of the conversation. Colin Kaepernick had a successful run in San Francisco. Andy Dalton had a successful run. Both had limitations. Colin Kaepernick was limited as a passer. Andy Dalton was limited as a passer. Had they taken Colin Kaepernick, my guess is with the roster they had, they still would have had some playoff teams. I'm not sure they would have done exponentially better. But yeah, Mike Brown has admitted that he would have taken Colin Kaepernick and the Bengals took Andy Dalton, and the rest is history.
Okay, but you can't ignore the political piece of this.
But in 2011, when that draft was happening, that was 5 years before he knelt for the national anthem.
Well, he took San Francisco to a Super Bowl. You got to give him credit for that.
Sure. But the part of it that, like the political part in 2011 was not a part of the conversation.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah.
It's just, that would have been. Would have hated to see that.
That would have been. A dumpster fire here. John, I have to go. Thank you.
Hey, thank you.
All right, John, we have to go. Thanks. That guy actually kind of sounded like Mike Brown. We're late. ESPN 1530. What's going on? We're late. I took the call way too long. I didn't think today I'd be getting calls about Andrew Whitworth and Andy Dalton versus Bengals are 5-2. They just steamrolled the Ravens. And I just did 8 minutes on Andrew Whitworth. And now I'm tearing him behind. I have to send a tweet for the hour.
Do I need to play some music?
Say it again?
Do I need to play some music?
Just give me some Twitter. At Mo Egger, can I have some tweeting tunes, if you will? 505. What are we going to do at 505? Oh, yeah. 2021? 2015? 2021? Oh, better than 2005. Hey, by the way, Wes Miller is going to be on with us tomorrow at this time, the head coach of the UC Bearcats. Justin Williams is going to join us at 5:20. Is this a clean version? Sure. Look, man, I can't pay an FCC fine out of my pocket. All right, I'm just going to do this. And at 5:33, big sports take. Listen at ESPN 15. I'm fighting with people about Andrew Whitworth on Twitter now. I'm not fighting like Chad. Chad Rendell on Twitter the last couple of days has taken things to another level. This is like the Bengals on Sunday kind of took things to another level. Like you kind of thought like, oh, this team's interesting, pretty good. And then bam, here we go. Chad on Twitter. Chad's on the Thursdays with us. Chad on Twitter's always been sometimes a little cantankerous with folks. The last couple of days, scorched earth for my man on Twitter. I don't fight with people on Twitter. Do you, Taryn? Do you fight with people on? Now, sometimes I'll retweet something and quote it and say something, and it's just meant to make a point, or sometimes highlight that there's a point of view out there that doesn't jive with the consensus, or sometimes just blatantly dunk on somebody. And sometimes I tweet to highlight my own just abject ignorance, but It's rare that you find me fighting with people. Chad has really just sort of just punched it up a notch where I have found it immensely entertaining because it's not me. Fights are fun when you're not in them, right? I don't find myself in a lot of social situations where I'm, you know, in danger of fighting somebody. But like in school, you'd see a fight. They're a good time. Now, it's not as good of a time if you're the one getting your face punched in. But it's fun watching people in the hallway fight. It's not as fun watching people fight at games. I wish that trend wasn't happening. What's the next day at work like for somebody who gets into a fight at a sporting event? Right? Like, what's the next day when you're picking up your kids from school? What's that day like? What's... Should we take some more phone calls, Taryn? We're not going to spend the day talking about Andrew Whitworth, are we?
Andy Whitworth.
Dude sort of sounded like Mike Brown. But maybe this is my chance to talk to Mike on the air. Mike, what's up?
What's up, big fella?
How you doing?
I'm doing great. Hey, thanks for the picks, as usual, my friend.
Well, now, which ones are you talking about?
Just in general, Mo, your winning percentage has done me very well.
The winning percentage overall has been good. I will tell you that this past weekend was not one would have turned out favorable if you followed my particular advice.
hey, stop that.
Not supposed to admit that, but I will.
No, you know, you've been outstanding. You know how I feel about that. I sent you a text message, or not text, an email last week. I didn't hear back from
you. You did. All right. I'm gonna scan through. I get a lot of emails, Mike. Tonight's going to be email night. When I'm watching the games, I'm going to go through my emails, and I will respond.
Yeah, I got a little something I wanted to try to share the wealth a little bit with some people in Cincinnati locally, if I could, and I wanted to get your feedback on it. Okay.
This baseball season, catch every pitch at Long Neck Sports Grill. Each location has 4K TVs, so you never miss a game. The menu is so extensive, you can get something different every time you visit. I love the wings. And no place in Northern Kentucky has a better beer selection. Locations in Wilder, Hebron, and Richwood. And when the weather is warm, there's nothing better than a warm spring night on Long Neck's outdoor patio. Long Neck Sports Grill, this baseball season, stay late, come often.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So I can't think of anything more important right now than the World Series tonight. And you and I have shared our sentimentality for Mr. Baker. And all I've got to say is go Dusty. And I mean, I can't believe I'm rooting for the Astros after how they screwed my Dodgers 3 years ago. But
so
I have to root for Dusty.
Yeah, look, I don't like the Astros as an organization. But my issue with the sign-stealing thing rests more with how it was handled by baseball, in that the players didn't get punished. And I know Manfred's argument was, I had to get them to go along in the investigation, and I had to promise them immunity. I don't believe that. I think you can offer degrees of protection, but still you have to punish the people who most directly benefited from them. And instead, they scapegoat the manager and the GM and the organization. If you're gonna do that, then take away the title, and they didn't take away the title. But I'm not naive. I'm not dumb enough to think that what was happening with sealing signs and using technology to steal signs was limited to one or two organizations. No. And it has been interesting to me in the aftermath of that how few people around baseball have criticized what baseball did to the Astros, and that's because a lot of teams were doing it. I'm not going to say the Cincinnati Reds were stealing signs, although I apparently can't say stealing signs. But would anybody be surprised to find out that they were? Whenever there's something that one team is doing, with as transient as players are, with as much mobility, with as much as people talk, you mean to tell me that that one thing that this one team did wasn't employed by so many others? Of course it was. So I have a hard time really getting worked up. But look, I like Dusty. I think Dusty, I had a conversation with somebody yesterday who covered the Reds when Dusty was the manager. Every single year, Dusty was the manager. And I was thinking as this person was talking that I've never heard somebody who was around him on a consistent basis who doesn't to this day believe that he's not one of the most interesting and classiest people ever. There were times on an individual basis I would have a problem with a certain move a manager made, but I thought as a body of work, he did very good work here, and I thought at times that dude got an absolute raw deal from a tiny segment of fans. I think he's had a wonderful baseball career. I think he's had a Hall of Fame managerial career, and if he checks that last box and wins the World Series, I don't know how you keep him out of Cooperstown. I'm rooting for him to get to Cooperstown.
I am too, pal. Hey, you might have commented on this earlier today with Tony. I'm getting to come back in December for the Chargers game, and then I'll be back for the month. So I can't wait for that matchup. That's going to be a fun, highly publicized matchup if both those teams keep doing what they're doing. However, how big was the Oklahoma State loss in your mind for UC?
Helpful. I'm not sure it would have been as big as, let's say, Oklahoma losing, but yeah, it dropped a team from the ranks of the unbeaten, and that's what you're looking to have happen, right? You want to eliminate possibilities for the committee to pull from the Power Five leagues outside of, you know, the norm, outside of the schools that we've talked about all year long. And so, you know, now Wake Forest would be on that list. I don't think Wake Forest is great. I do believe they're going to lose a game in the ACC, but I get how this works. They're in a Power Five league if they're unbeaten, and Cincinnati is. I'm led to believe Wake Forest would get a spot. I don't know that a one-loss Wake team would get taken ahead of Cincinnati, and I would say the same thing for Oklahoma State.
One more thing, if you'd indulge me. I'm 69 years old now, born and raised in Cincinnati. I'm proud of it. And I was just thinking about this today. I think there's five times in the history of me following these Cincinnati sports that have been excitement for the city. One was the 70s Reds, whether they were losing playoffs or winning World Series. With the 70s, the Reds dominated. The 90 Reds was another time. The second thing I would say was the Bengals, 81-89. How about the Huggins Bearcats era when they went to the Final Four?
Mm-hmm.
And then UC, and not UC, but the Xavier Hoops times when they went to Final Eight, Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the fifth time, right? No, it's so cool right now, man, but in Cincinnati. I got people out here, I can't even wear my Bengals or my UC gear around because they're coming up and asking me questions. Well, what's Cincinnati like? And, before they'd just say, well, what do you got that on for?
Yeah.
Lose your town. I mean, these people flip their colors in 1 year.
I think as a combination, what is happening right now, Mike, thank you. I think as a combination, the UC and Bengals being paired together is to a large degree unlike anything that I've experienced. Now, in 2009, UC went undefeated, and that was a really fun, likable Bengals team that went 10-6, kind of overachieved. And they really did overachieve. They were bracketed between two terrible teams, but that year they had the right balance of Cedric Benson was awesome. They were great against the division. They went 6-0 against Baltimore, Cleveland, and Pittsburgh. They were great in close games, and their defense was phenomenal. But that didn't feel like the beginning of something. It felt like it felt like sort of, maybe not a last stand, but it just was this sort of from out of left field, out of nowhere thing that happened, and it didn't seem like the start of something big, but it was also not the capper to like a wildly successful era. It was just this year that happened, and by the end of it, I think because that team was kind of limited offensively, we sort of knew that it wasn't going to end well. And as awesome as the 2009 season was from a UC perspective, not me per se, but there were a lot of folks who, and I remember talking about this, they didn't allow their concern over what was going to happen with the head coach to not impede the fun they were having watching the team. This feels different. This, from a Bengals perspective, in some respects, this is better than 2005. And better than 2015, which 15 is, from a record perspective, that and the 88 team are the teams that had the best records ever. But in 2005, and it's easier to say this in hindsight, admittedly, It was awesome. That's my favorite Bengals team of all time. But there was still something about it where you're like, you know what? I'm not sure this mix is really sustainable. And what happened that year? They lose to the Steelers. Carson gets hurt. There's a fight at halftime. And as much as everybody tried to deny there was a fight at halftime in the locker room, there was. And when that happened, nobody was surprised. There was this sort of like just smoldering sense of this is combustible here. And it blew up. And by midway through 2006, even though that team was 8-5 at one point, midway through 2006, suddenly dudes were getting arrested. Odell Thurman had off-field issues. I think Chad's act for a lot of people had spilled over into annoyance. Within a year, that dude is looking to get out of town. It just it felt like a mix that was not really sustainable. And in 2015, as good as that team was, it was really, I think, dogged by its recent history, right? That whole year was spent wondering, well, how are they going to piss us off in the playoffs now? Four straight years of losing in the postseason. What are they going to do now? And even beyond that, there was a sense until Andy got hurt that as good as that team was, they were limited by the play of the quarterback, by Andy Dalton's own limitations. This feels like the genuine start of something. And what that something is, none of us know. That's the beauty of sports. But it feels like the Bengals are about to matter for a while. It feels like the Bengals are about to be relevant for a while. And if you're relevant in this league, and if you have the most important position taken care of, then winning something meaningful is never that far away. This feels like the start of something big. It feels like the mix, the chemistry, the right group of guys, it feels like they have it right now. Will they in a year? Will they in 2 years? It remains to be seen. But this feels like the start of something big. It feels like, because of the quarterback they have, that the ceiling for this team and, more importantly, for this organization moving forward is going to be limitless. This feels like getting on the ground floor of something. And I think we would be surprised if we saw things unfold or found out that things were unfolding behind the scenes that were detrimental to winning. That if suddenly they had a bunch of dudes who were getting in trouble, that they had a bunch of guys who were a little bit too me first. That mix in 2005, and I love that team. It is my favorite all-time Bengals team. But even in real time, I remember that year so vividly, I think there was a sense of, I'm not sure from a maturity standpoint, from an all-in on the team standpoint, and even from the standpoint of that team's defense, they had to turn you over or they weren't very good. That felt somewhat limited, and it didn't feel sustainable. What the Bengals are doing now feels sustainable. Justin Williams on UC football and basketball next. Taryn, the next time you do a little Q&A on what it's like to be a producer with Barrett Sports Media, talk about what it's like to work with a host who has no idea how to work with the clock. 27 minutes after 5 o'clock, Justin Williams agreed to come on. We have him on a pretty frequent basis, covers UC sports for The Athletic. He's very busy getting set for UC basketball. Obviously, the second-rated Bearcats football team coming off a narrow victory over Navy. He's got a lot going on. He's on Twitter, at Williams_Justin. Call him up. Hey, can we have you on at 5:20? And he's thinking, yeah, I'll be done by 5:28. Well, guess what? It's now 5:28, so sorry.
Hey, it's like when I go places and my wife built in, like, I need to tell them 10 minutes ahead of time so we get there on time. That's just how I treat the my time slots with you, so it's not a problem.
That's how everybody treats anything with me. There's real time and there's mo time, and you're just starting to learn this. Nonetheless, it's nice to have you.
Nice to have me on. I'm always happy to talk to you, Mo.
It's always good to talk to you. You kind of did a deep dive into the game against Navy, and it's. I want folks to read it. It's at theathletic.com. What was, though, for you? Because there were issues on both sides of the ball. What was the biggest chink in the armor that, as we move forward, UC fans should worry about being exposed?
Honestly, I think it would be maybe more like, you know, self-inflicted mistakes. You know, I think when you go back over that game, you got to give Navy credit. They played really well on defense. We talked to Des Ritter today, and he said, like, they showed us some stuff that we did not see on any film in terms of what they played against him. And offensively, like, they did the Navy thing where they ran some 12, 15-play drives and just completely grinded the clock down. But Cincinnati didn't play all that bad, more so probably on offense. They missed some opportunities. But it's the penalties. They had four false starts. They had a personal foul that probably they would have gone for on fourth down, but the personal foul made them punt it. They had two fourth down and shorts on defense where they jumped off sides and gave them a free first down. So they had a personal foul takeaway, an interception that, you know, probably would have ended the game a lot sooner. And that hasn't, that's been a problem with them in the past, you know, a couple of years ago, what, I think 18 or 19, they were one of the most penalized teams in college football. They've gotten away from that a little bit, but we've seen in a couple of moments this year that Indiana game, they had a bunch of false starts, and then obviously against Navy. So, you know, to me it was looking back and thinking, like, I'm sure when they were sitting in and watching film on Sunday or whatever, they were like, man, we really screwed up way more than we should have, and that's what made that game a lot closer.
Desmond Ridder did not play great. His decision-making was a little suspect. Offensively, they had a hard time really getting Jerome Ford going consistently aside from the one really long run. Was there anything that Navy did that if you're an opponent, and I'm talking about the ones they have that aren't that good coming up, that you could look at and say, well, you know what, we could steal that, we could use that and limit this Cincinnati offense?
Yeah, I mean, not to get two X's and O's, but we asked Dez today, and he said, like, they came out and Navy had a four-man defensive front, and they hadn't seen that, and two deep safeties, and they hadn't seen that at all, you know, on their film prep. And so once they realized they were playing that a little bit more, Ridder basically said, like, our entire game plan, we kind of had to throw out, you know, a lot of stuff because we didn't prepare for that type of defense because they hadn't shown it. And I think they're going to get that, especially against those teams that aren't very good, like USF and Tulsa in a couple weeks, you know, teams that might be struggling. Those are the teams that are going to throw the kitchen sink and try and, you know, onside kick like Navy did or do some fake punts or trick plays. And I think Navy, that game was a little bit of a wake-up call for Cincinnati. They knew they had this bullseye on their back, but, like, you know, Notre Dame's not going to throw anything weird at them. UCF has a pretty set offense of what they run. But I think now they're realizing, like, some of these teams, they're going to do whatever they can at any point in the game just to try and get an edge on us. And so, you know, Fickell even said, like, late Friday, he started thinking, not that we weren't prepared to play Navy on the field, but maybe that he didn't prepare the team well enough for all these little gadgets, kitchen sink type stuff that they could throw at them. So, you know, if you're going to look at a positive from a Navy game that was much closer than it should have been, well, you know, if they needed any kind of a wake-up call, they got it, and they were still able to come out with a win when they got it.
The reaction to that game, and it sort of spanned the spectrum, but you had, I think to a degree, two competing factions, and usually when that's the case, I find myself somewhere in the middle. You had folks who would just say, look, a win is a win is a win. That's all that matters. Who cares? They're 7-0. Move on. And then you had the folks who treated the game as if it was a defeat, as if it was a loss. I don't think either are true. I don't think you can simply go, look, all that matters is they win. And I certainly don't believe that whatever you think this team can accomplish was extinguished because they lost that game on Saturday. I think there's a little bit more complex, a few more complexities to the whole thing than that. Where are you in terms of what the reaction should be to what happened on Saturday as we talk about their college football playoff hopes?
This baseball season, catch every pitch at Long Neck Sports Grill. Each location has 4K TVs, so you never miss a game. The menu is so extensive, you can get something different every time you visit. I love the wings. And no place in Northern Kentucky has a better beer selection. Locations in Wilder, Hebron, and Richwood. And when the weather is warm, there's nothing better than a warm spring night on Long Neck's outdoor patio. Long Neck Sports Grill, this baseball season, stay late, come often.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure you've seen it too. Like, obviously, the real problem was the white helmets, right?
Yes.
Burn the white helmets.
Burn the white helmets. Yeah, yeah. I kind of don't disagree.
I'm sure Tony Pike.
Well, you know why? Because here's the thing, really quick, as an aside. Then I want you to ask me my question. Whenever I see the white helmet, I don't think of the Sugar Bowl. I think of the practices leading up to the Sugar Bowl, which were chaotic. Like, sure. My daughter went to a 4-year-old's birthday party a few weeks ago. that was less chaotic than those Sugar Bowl practices. The only thing the staffers at UC cared about were, ooh, don't take a picture of the helmets. Please don't tweet about the helmets. I would have had more leverage than that dude with Tom Brady's football had I known what I was doing to say, well, I might tweet out a picture of these white helmets because they were so worried about these. So that's what the white helmets now remind me of, and that's why I don't like them.
That's fair enough. To answer your actual question, yeah, look, unless you're 2019 LSU or, you know, I guess last year's Alabama team, for the most part, and even then, you probably point to some games with them, teams are going to have bad games. You know, Cincinnati's a very good team. They're not like an all-time great team. It's reasonable to expect them to have a bad game. Fortunately for them, they had it against Navy. They were able to do enough well to win. So as long as, you know, I wrote this today, as long as this wasn't like the start of a downward trend and there's nothing that they've done this season to suggest that, as long as it was just kind of like, hey, we made some mistakes, we had a bad game, I don't think it's all that worrisome. You know, now if they come out and they play well against Tulane and they kind of get right back on track of being like, yeah, we're the number two team, we're going to run the table, we're blowing everyone out, I don't think it hurts their chances, especially with, you know, if they have a blowout, the CFP rankings are coming out next week after the Tulane game. That would be good timing to have it. If you start to see some of the same stuff again against Tulane and then again against Tulsa in a couple weeks, then I think you can start to have concerns. But, you know, unless you're just a world beater all-time team, you're going to have some down games, and Cincinnati had it, and they still won, and they're still second in the polls.
Yeah, very good. Justin Williams, theathletic.com. Read his work, @Williams_Justin is where you can find him on Twitter. Is the basketball team going to be any good?
I'm interested to see. I think there's probably some people like very involved with the basketball team that would give you the same answer. I think, you know, football is so different than basketball. You know, this time of year, it's hard to realize that those bye games and, you know, those early non-conference games, that's kind of your like training camp. That's when you actually figure out what this team has. So yes, they're going to play some of those super secret scrimmages and they're going to go against each other in practice. But with basketball, I just don't think you really know until you get out there and play a little bit. Especially with this team, new coach, new system, playing a bunch of teams, players together. But based on what I've seen so far and just kind of like projecting ahead, I think they'll be, you know, in the top, you know, section 4 or 5 of their conference. I think as the year goes on and they kind of get to know each other a little bit better, they'll have a chance to be decent. I think if you're projecting an NCAA tournament, that's asking a lot of a new coach and a young team. But I think it might be a situation where, like, as the season goes on, people start to understand Wes Miller's system a little bit better, and they start to get excited about this team moving forward, if maybe not quite this season, like a return to the tournament.
If the team, at least at the start of the season, which begins in 2 weeks, if they do have one weakness, one strength, I should say, what might it be?
I think strength is definitely post play. I mean, if you look at the guys they brought in, Abdul Ladeau was an all-league defensive player in the SEC, started 130 games in the SEC. Hayden Koval, yes, he's played at a lower level, but he's the leading shot blocker, active shot blocker in college basketball. Odi Aguama's got a really high motor. I think UC fans are going to love how hard he plays. And if you're just comparing to what they had in the post last year, rim protection, rebounding, toughness inside, to me is like a clear, clear upgrade over what they had last year.
Who is the new player that has the chance to be my favorite early in the season?
So, John Newman, who was at Clemson, was going to go to UNCG with
his
with
uncle
Wes
played
Miller.
For the Knicks.
His uncle, there you go. So you already have some affection for him.
Sure.
He locks guys up. I mean, I'm not going to pretend like I've seen every practice or everything they've done, but he just, the way he guards people, I think he's going to give, you know, other teams' problems on the perimeter and just kind of have a little bit of that, like, old-school Cincinnati defense vibe that we've talked about with Wes Miller. Like, John Newman is going to be that on the floor. And so I don't know what he's going to do offensively. I think he's probably going to have some more opportunities here than he's had in the past. But I think people are going to love how hard he plays and how he guards.
Give me the returning player who has undergone the biggest transformation, either physically or within what they can do on the floor.
I think it could be David DeJulius, just because we saw some little glimpses of it last year, but, you know, he's been very open about he wasn't totally comfortable last season. And he has the talent, he has the ability to kind of be that, like, go-to scorer, leading guy. And so I think he has a possibility. And the other one I would say is Mikey Saunders. Like, he's going to, you know, remember how long it took for him to really get in the rotation last year?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's going to be the point guard this season. That's his role. And Wes Miller is a point guard guy. He was a point guard at UNC. You know, that's, especially on offense, that's kind of like what runs the show for him. So I think those are the two, you know, obviously two guards, but those are two guys that I'm really interested to see compared to what we saw last year when we saw some glimpses. Like, can they capture that and really extend that to a full season this year?
All right. I'm sorry I kept you long. I appreciate you as always. Thanks for coming on. We'll see you soon.
Thanks, Mo. Anytime.
All right. Justin Williams covers UC Sports for The Athletic. We are late. 22 minutes away from 6. Darren just nodded along. You know, the producer is technically in charge of keeping the show running on time.
Not this show.
Not this show today, or just this show as a
Not
whole?
Not this show in general.
Not this show in general? The other day I broke on time every single one, and today it's just been a disaster. This show has been like last night's Monday Night Football game. Did you watch that thing?
I did.
Did you watch Manning Cast or the traditional broadcast with Steve Levy and Brian Griese and Louis Riddick?
I watched Manning Cast up to Drew Brees. Then, like, once Drew started talking, I turned it.
Yeah, I thought Drew was kind of boring. I think Drew Brees is boring, to be honest with you. We're late. Can I just say something about the Manning Cast?
Hurry, because this might be it. We break. This could be our last segment right here. So
that's devastating. 21 from 6. This is ESPN 1530. Here to talk about the Manning Cast, which I want to use to, I think, make a point about Twitter. And we have to play Mike Tomlin shooting down USC speculation. But first, let's talk to Kenny. Kenny has more important things to talk about than anything else. Hi, Kenny. How are you?
Hey, how you doing? Hey, producer. My name is Kenny, not Kenny.
Okay. Kenny?
Yeah.
All right. Kenny, go ahead.
I remember, I called a college football team here in Cincinnati, University of Cincinnati Bearcats football team. Instead of using two letters, how about that?
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Hey, you used to pound on Andy Dalton. Now, Dalton did a good little bit with the Cowboys. He did kind of good with the Bears. When a quarterback's got protection, he seems to do a lot better. Now, Lamar, who a guy you said you were crazy about, you take over Dalton in a minute. Dalton set a lot of passing records, and he took them to the playoffs. Playoffs? Yeah, yeah, playoffs. Yeah, but the
there's not a coach or GM in the league who would prefer Andy Dalton ahead of Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, but look what happened yesterday. When you put a good pressure on him, a good little defense on, a little pressure, what did he do? Had the worst game of his life.
Yeah, no, he wasn't. But, you know, he had the worst game of his life, and he still wasn't terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, they got to him, and Joe Burrow was and is better. But, I mean, Lamar Jackson's a better football player than Andy Dalton.
Well, sure, he's better. But I'm just saying that you give a guy protection, the player's just as good as the people around him. Is what I'm saying. If you give a guy the same line that they got now, I think Dalton would still have just about the same record as they have now.
I mean,
I know Burrow can throw the ball downfield real good and stuff like that, but it's sometimes based on look at Brady. Look what Brady does.
So you're going to tell me that? So you want to tell me that Andy Dalton's as good as Joe Burrow and Tom Brady?
No, I'm just saying that when you got a good offensive line.
I mean, Andy, Tom Brady has thrived even when he's had terrible offensive lines. So, yeah, I mean, he's the greatest of all time. So I take it. Look, Andy playing behind good offensive lines in Cincinnati did well. And yet you never felt like you were winning a championship with him. I think you put Joe Burrow. Look, the Bengals offensive line does need to get better. I think we would all agree with that. But you put Joe Burrow behind that 2015 offensive line, I think they can win a championship. I think Andy Dalton behind that offensive line in 2015 had a very good season, and unfortunately he got hurt at the end. I don't think that's a championship team with Andy. I think the same offensive line, heck, same skill guys with this quarterback, I think can win a title.
So getting to the playoffs and setting passing records wasn't good enough for you. You want to go to the Super Bowl and win that. So
yeah,
you're kind of,
I'd like to win a title. That's the idea here, right?
Right.
I mean, Andy had a very good Bengals career. That goes without saying. And there's still a place for him in the NFL, I think, kind of being what he is right now, which is a placeholder for the franchise guy, which is what he's turned out to be in Chicago. And look, he wouldn't have played in Dallas last year had Dak Prescott not gotten hurt. It's no knock on Andy, but we all understood while Andy was here, as much as we appreciated him, we all understood better quarterbacks existed. And I mean, even at his best, in a given time, you could probably list 10 to 12 guys, and maybe even more, that you would have preferred to build around instead of Andy Dalton.
Do you think Lamar Jackson will get to the playoffs this year?
I think he'll get to the playoffs, yes. I do not think that team is good enough to win a championship.
I agree with you there.
And look, okay. Lamar's got to get that. He's got to shake that. Thank you, Kenny. Lamar hasn't been great in the postseason. He wasn't last year. He has to, at some point, win playoff games, or the conversation will obviously always include, yeah, but he can't get it done in January. But side-by-side comparison, you take Andy, I'll take Lamar, I'll win more than you. But if somebody else walks in and they have Joe Burrow, I think long-term they're going to win more than both. Do you have Mike Tomlin shooting down the USC rumors? I'm not even sure they're rumors. Like Carson Palmer said it on the Dan Patrick show and people took it as fact. I'm not sure who Carson was talking to. And look, I'd be willing to bet somebody at USC is like, hey, Mike Tomlin would be fun to hire. He's done a good job in Pittsburgh. Mike Tomlin, if you believe him, is not going to USC.
Hey, guys, I don't have time for that speculation. I mean, that's a joke to me. I got one of the best jobs in all of professional sport. Why would I have any interest in coaching college football? That'll be the last time that I address it. And not only today, but moving forward. Never say never, but never. Okay? Anybody else got any questions about any college jobs? It's not a booster with a big enough blank check. Thank you. Anybody asking Sean Payton about that? You know, anybody asking Andy Reid about stuff like that?
I'm not supposed to like Mike Tomlin, but I like Mike Tomlin. All right, quickly on the Manning cast. I watched the Manning cast last night. Here's where I am with Manning cast. If that's a Bengals game, I'm not watching the Manning cast. If that's a game I really care about, I'm not watching the Manning cast because, frankly, it's a little too distracting. And it's distracting because I think those guys are entertaining. I think them with Tom Brady last night was fantastic. I thought those guys with Sue Bird last night was really good. I thought those guys with Marshawn Lynch was good. I don't find Marshawn Lynch as interesting as everybody else. And Drew Brees might be one of the five most boring people alive. So when he came on, I flipped over to Levi Riddick and the other guy, Greasy. But as a general rule for a game like that, I think those guys are fun. Here's what's interesting to me. And this to me says something about Twitter. If you're on Twitter, you kind of feel like, oh, this is Twitter and this is the real world. If I would have gone on Twitter last night at like 10 o'clock and said, hey, Lewis Riddick just made a great point, I would have been laughed at. What are you doing watching the regular broadcast? Everybody over here is watching Manning. Everybody over here is watching Peyton put on Eli's jersey. Everybody's watching Tom Brady. Well, okay. Twitter is a vacuum. Last night, ESPN2, Manning cast, 1.6 million viewers. Regular ESPN broadcast, Levy, Riddick, Greasy, 11.189 million viewers. The Manning cast is great, and I like it. I don't want it for, again, if the Bengals ever play on Monday Night Football, I'm not watching the Manning cast. I want a straightforward broadcast because I'm more into the game than what those guys are doing. Game like last night, which was a turd, give me the Mannings. In fact, give me Archie, give me Cooper, give me Olivia. Have all the Mannings on there. Have Sue Bird, Tom Brady, Marshawn Lynch all on TV at the same time. Drew Brees, no thanks, because Drew Brees is boring. Sorry, great quarterback, fun to watch, boring as hell. Neat birthmark, boring as hell. But like, Twitter would make you think the entire country was transfixed on the Manning cast. Had you gone on Twitter last night and said, man, Steve Levy just made a great point, you would have been like, oh, look at this dude. And yet, most of the country is still watching the regular broadcast, which, by the way, isn't bad. We have to go. Wes Miller on the show tomorrow at 5:05.
Mike Sando.
Mike Sando's on this show? 4:05. What time's he on?
4:05.
Love Mike Sando. Mike Sando, The Athletic, one of the absolute best. He always does the quarterback tears before the season. Not quarterback tears like they cry, like tears, like rankings. Level. Anyway, Mike's a great NFL writer, and he's going to join us. And we have a Zach Taylor press conference. Let's let the media keep that to maybe under 10 minutes. You'll hear Joe Burrow. Richard Skinner's going to be on. It's going to be a fun show, and we're looking forward to it already. Have a great night. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Taryn. Featured today in BarrettSportsMedia.com. Taryn Bland for producing. Austin, when are you going to get featured in BarrettSportsMedia.com? Huh? When they do their Best of Flannel series? Have a great night. This is ESPN 1530 Cincinnati Sports Station.
This baseball season, catch every pitch at Long Neck Sports Grill. Each location has 4K TVs, so you never miss a game. The menu is so extensive, you can get something different every time you visit.
I love the wings, and no place in Northern Kentucky has a better beer selection. Locations in Wilder, Hebron, and Richwood, and when the weather is warm, there's nothing better than a warm spring night on Longneck's outdoor patio. Longneck Sports Grill, this baseball season, stay late, come often.